Okay, we don't have a lot of time. We're running behind. We'll start as the rest of the folks file in. Thanks for coming. I'm Jason Gish with Testronic. As you might guess from the name of our company, we do testing QC, QA of content across different verticals, including media and entertainment and sports. And we test, in addition to the content, we actually test however that content's delivered, whatever that mechanism is, if it's on a disk or if it's a OTT platform or whatever, however it gets to consumers. So I found this quote, although I don't think it's quite right. I think it's a much shorter time period. Technology is moving so fast, I don't think it's what you did 2 years ago. I think it's what you did like 6 months ago. But the point is relevant, which is that things are moving quickly, and especially in the OTT world, we have to be flexible, and the users drive with the innovation and the requirements, and we have to pay attention to that. I should say you all have attention. So a couple snapshots of some of the growth that's going on. This is in the UK. The green is the subscription VOD. Obviously, it's growing quickly. And been at a higher level. And then the US, so it's live content and VOD content. So the dark one is live and the blue is VOD. And you can see even, I think, we do a lot of sports testing, and that's definitely true in our world, but it seems to be true all over the live stuff is gaining a greater percentage of the market. And then, of course, those damn kids, they have a different expectation than we do. They stream more than their peers, their elders. And they're driving that need and desire and requirement. And I think that maybe we're in this, but I think there's a cliff where the main buyers of content are subscribers, I should say, probably, are going to be taking over, and that's going to be this age group. Wherever that is, they're going to be becoming the main buyers, and we might be hitting that right now, I think. I have to take hot tea breaks from my throat. So we're all aware of this trend. People are binge watching more. They expect things to be ubiquitous and accessible everywhere, and across any device and at any time, and to meet whatever demands they want, and of course high quality. And I think there was an initial sort of first to market, just having something out there that was, some of this quality stuff could have been forgiven, and it was. But as there's now, so many different providers and options for people out there, then it's less forgivable to have bad quality. This is more what people are desiring, right? So episodes released all at once, this is just based on Netflix, obviously, versus traditional episodic weekly releases. People are, especially the younger ones, those kids again, are demanding and expecting, this sort of binge-watching environment, which we should be aware of. And then in sports, this is one single use case. But with sports fans of the Philadelphia Eagles, even though the OTT platform currently, or at this time, was free, and they could get a good amount of stuff out of that platform, they were willing to pay more to get everything they got from sports sharing. So they're happy to pay for it, right? If they could move off the traditional platform and move on to an OTT platform, they're willing to pay for a subscription. So we know people want OTT, but what is it? I don't know. I assume some people have something to say, right? I'll move past it. If you haven't seen it, look at it. So what is OTT? I assume everybody knows, which is the case. Any content that's provided over the internet, as opposed to the traditional model, like a set-top box. Here's a little diagram of it. You can see, although broadcast is somewhat complicated, OTT is more complicated. and it's, you know, it is over the internet. It's not a as structured an environment. There's more variables to consider, and at the user level, there's a ton of devices that you have to consider as well, and those change for territory, obviously, which I'll talk about a little more. So what makes a successful OTT platform? How do you get there? And then we'll talk about why LiveSports is important. So in all these cases, but it's especially true with LiveSports, customers don't care why it's bad, they just care that it's bad, right? They don't care what the excuse is, if it's a CDN issue or if it's a, you know, even if it's an internal bandwidth issue at their home, right? That's not important. And what's important is they can't get what they want. And then there's the complexity, there's, you know, among many other things, latency, CDN strategy, devices at the end user, region problems, limitations, and then bandwidth issues throughout that process. Again, LiveSports is a unique challenge. There's no binging, so the expectation, there's no catch-up TV, so the expectation is it's got to be great first time, and that's it. Sports apps do have things like you know, highlight reels and interviews and stuff like that, but the main focus is that live event. If you can't see that live event, everything else is secondary to that. And then there's limited models for watching sports. You can go to a bar and pay for it, especially things like live pay-per-view events and such. You can go and pay for it at a bar, you can go pay for it at home, which is very expensive, and people are trying to get away from that. These OTT platforms are challenging that model. Speaks for itself. So this is, I have some use cases to go through, and I'm sure they'll find somebody in the room, but these are on the internet, it's open knowledge. I'm not exposing anything secret. So these are some of the comments from the Amazon US Open attempt at providing live content for sports. They were very, very bad, and you know, so many people gave 1 stars and were saying things like, I wish we could give 0 stars, but there's not that option. So more than 80% gave 1 star, and I think probably everybody would have given 0 if they had that availability. So part of this was catch-up TV, an issue with being able to go back and see things that you just missed. Part of it was availability, and there were some other issues that were pretty critical. So what did Amazon do about it? So they tried to fix some of the problems right away. They tried to address some things. That wasn't working, and then they suspended coverage. They just killed it. So that might be a good strategy if it's not working and people are complaining too much. Maybe just take it off and reinvent and figure out the way to do it correct the next time. So they built a wall, and they said, we're not letting people see this anymore until we get it right. And then they did it with Thursday NFL. And they did a little better. They have some better ratings. It's still not fixed. I think this quote by Jeff Bezos is funny in this context, because he's saying they really listen to consumers and they have such a great online presence and solutions online, but they're still not quite getting it right. It is better, and I haven't checked in the last couple of weeks. Maybe it's even better now, but this is the current view of it. And then, so my title, your OTT platform sucks. It really comes from this DAZN sucks hashtag and Twitter account. This is a real thing. Yeah, when DAZN launched in Canada for NFL Canada, they had a lot of really, really bad feedback. And it took them some time to fix it because they just really didn't know what was going on. So the story is they actually flew some of their executive management out to the people that created this Twitter account, some of the most vocal people on the site. And they just went to the drawer and asked them, you know, what's happening here, and they realized that there was these use cases they never imagined. The whole room filled with TVs, like a sports bar, and people streaming through one account, multiple events at the same time. So Marcus Parnell from DAZN is quoted here. So they did make improvements. They saw an uptick in their subscriptions pretty immediately. It wasn't perfect. There's still, you can see complaints still ongoing after that for a while, but they kept improving. It doesn't happen overnight, obviously, especially if you have a a really bad brand issue like that from the launch, it's going to take a while for you to recover. But it also it takes a while to figure out what went wrong and how to fix it, especially after the fact. So some of the things they addressed was reducing the bit rates so that people with lower bandwidth could actually access and see the content, which obviously reduced start time and reduced buffering. They looked at their CDN strategy again and implemented a backup CDN strategy so that if something goes down, they can move quickly. They looked at new players for each device because they were having specific player issues on specific devices, which is something that we encounter a lot. And then they focused on pre-launch, right? Leading up to a big event, what can they do to prepare for that big event? They did a lot of testing of the whole infrastructure pre-game. They did testing in territory and continued to monitor through the live event and post. They did latency checks, device testing. They also, I mentioned this again later, they also reached out to, they also offered incentives to new subscribers to subscribe early so that they can get a track of how many people are subscribing and be able to, you know, anticipate that load on their system. So we looked at some examples where people maybe launched too early. They were trying to get into something because there was a hard date for an event, or they got the rights and they were eager to make money on it, so they wanted to sell subscriptions, but that's not always a good idea. Those complaints, DAZN sucks, and one-star Amazon ratings can be really brutal to your brand and make it hard for you to launch in the future, even if things are drastically improved. And yet this, I found some data that shows 1 in 5 people will abort an OTT platform if they can't do what they want, can't see what they want, if they're having a bad experience. And those same 1 in 5 will never come back. What's interesting, I think, is that it is people over 45 that are most likely to abandon. Younger people will sort of wait it out and say, oh, I've seen this before, I think it's going to come around, I'll wait a little longer. And I've touched on this already. Customers may surprise you, the DAZN example. But, testing's important.
When AI fails.
Yeah, exactly. So customers may surprise you in a lot of ways, right? They may try to do things that you're not expecting them to do, but they also may just subscribe in huge numbers and you may not be ready for that. So when ESPN had this big UFC title fight coming up in Brooklyn, within 2 days they had over 500,000 subscribers. DAZN had a similar thing their first 2 days in Italy for European football soccer rights. It was over 750,000 subscribers. So these huge, unexpectedly, right? They had these huge subscriptions right away. Great news if it performs. And like I said, the Canada issue, nobody expected a single person to have 15 different sports events streaming simultaneously in one room. And expecting it all to work perfectly, obviously. So those are some of the things to avoid, right? There's some examples of how people struggle to launch a successful OTT app. And I say it's simple up here, but obviously it's very complicated to make these two things a real reality. But intuitive, reliable, and bug-free experience, user experience is critical, and great targeted content. So let's look at the first one. These platforms are developed to make money, right? They're trying to sell subscriptions, and to sell subscriptions has to be a great user experience. There's a direct correlation between those subscriptions and that user experience. So the user experience is made up of these terms that are more recently used regarding OTT service. So quality of service and quality of experience. Just a little snapshot of some of the testing that's required, and there'll be more of this. But for adaptive bit rate testing, there's all these different things you need to check in. And that's just of the adaptive bit rate, not the master itself before that, or the device, necessarily the device after that. It can be done at different levels. And then, I showed this image before where the bottom OTT workflow is much more complicated. But you need QC, not, there's this throw it over the wall mentality for QC, which is a big mistake. in QC all the way through, from encryption, from mastering actually to encryption, transcoding, all the way through the CDN strategy into the end user, and then per territory, a specific list of devices that are relevant to that market and that territory for that demographic as well. And here's some interesting metrics you can pull. There's a lot more, obviously, but this is a good snapshot. This is from a tool code would be. Load time, launch time, buffering, video quality score.
Are those catastrophic?
No, that's from a tool that we use. Yeah. So we use various tools, and we have to, depending on what the workflow is and what the requirements of monitoring is. So some real common issues that we found. Compatibility issues that are not generic across all devices, but are specific to one device and one territory for one player on that device. Latency is a big issue. Some people in the room that I've talked to, but also in Europe, there's an example of the World Cup. I've heard this story so many times. Where somebody's out there at home, and they're watching the World Cup, and they hear shouts and screams from the bar down the street, and 30 seconds later, they see the goal, right? And they don't know what happened until 30 seconds later. So that's frustrating. And now that there's gaming betting happening online, there's more legalities going through in the US for that. This is going to be a real issue, because you can imagine if there's a latency issue and you're betting on something, but you have a friend at the live event, you can make some money. I'm sorry, and then availability, and this is a common issue. It's a real problem. We've seen it with, I'll give you a case study. We actually were doing some sports testing for a fight. I'll be as generic as I can. And the undercard fights were fine, and then once we got to the title card fight, it dropped out, so we couldn't even see it. That's a big deal, especially when, with subscription models, it's a slightly less big deal. It's not a $100 fight for one show, but I've experienced that as well personally. And then user journey issues, and we can argue about which is more important, availability or that user experience, but they're obviously equally important. Making it easy, like we just heard in the big room, making it easy for the user to get to that content is critical. So, I kind of disagree with this, but some of our staff have argued that validation is more important than verification. Validation meaning ability to access that content. Of course, that is kind of true, but both things are totally critical. If you can't get the sports, if you can't see that main card fight, that's the end of the world. You're not going to use that service again. But the verification part, the testing of the app and the functionality throughout the app and user journey, is also very important, but I think it is, you're more likely to forgive that a little bit if you can still get to the content. Especially things with live sports. The live sports is the main thing. So how do we avoid some of these pitfalls? Don't rush to release. Take your time to fix things and make sure you start testing early, and then keep retesting until it's right. Track subscriptions leading up to a launch, but if you can do that, offer incentives. Find out how many people you might have actually creating a subscription for this and accessing it. Maybe do surveys. Load stress and performance testing, obviously related to your CDN strategy. Have a backup CDN strategy in case something goes horribly wrong. Test early, often, and ongoing, which I mentioned. And like I said, there's a throw it over the fence mentality. Try not to do that. Engage with QC, whether it's an internal team or external. Start that early, keep it going, do lots of testing. And then understand your users, whether that's through a support channel or email or phone or whatever that is. Allow them to call you and contact you and make recommendations and complaints so you can adjust issues right away. And then that goes for your own performance monitoring as well. You should have live information, especially in the case of live events, that you know immediately when something happens. You can text on your phone as soon as something drops out, so that it's actionable. And then some overall test approach, flexibility, obviously. Like my first slide, this world changes so quickly, and you need to be able to adopt and adapt as quickly as it changes. So you should be prepared for that chaos constantly. Understanding the value of automation. Obviously, automation is valuable, but how much of it and where to put it, and then having the right people that can interpret that data and do something with it. and then test with users in mind. So like I said, if you have a way to survey users and understand what they want and what they might be trying to do with your platform, you can avoid things like the blue zone issue in Canada. And then regression is critical not just for, we find a lot of issues on a single device, and then we would go and do regression testing on all the devices, and we still find issues across other devices where that wasn't an issue before. So when there's fixes made, you need to apply regression testing across the board. And then I mentioned this a little bit, but device testing is, obviously it's critical, but it's also complicated. In each territory, the devices that you should be testing on are going to be different. Each client wants different levels of OS and back. So you just need to be aware of that, and if you can, get data to the saturation of those devices in each territory. And then I didn't actually put it up here, but in-territory testing is also critical. We found, we do A/B testing from a VPN versus in-territory. We find a lot of issues in territory that don't find via the VPN, so it's critical to actually be there. And then just some notes on some of the complexity. You have to be across mobile devices and tablets. You have to be in the games consoles or whatever streaming console. In the living room on the big TVs, in whatever format that is. Across PC and Mac, casting is a big issue, and we just heard that there's can be restrictions on that as well, because there's issues pulling out large logs and things like that. And then, like I said, device testing is specific per territory. So we talked about all the bug-free experience part of the user experience, and then we talked about content. So great content that's targeted to your audience is obviously much harder to do, because the content is king. That's something we always talk about. Content needs to be tested at the master level and then all the way through, and even at variable bitrate streaming, if that's relevant. And then be in a VOD and live as well. So clean, master, metadata checks before it goes to whatever that transcoding tool is. Validation after that tool before it goes out to the CDN and edge servers. Checks for sync localization, like I said, bandwidth throttling. And then don't over rely on automation. It's good. There's a lot of this being automated in the cloud now, that transcoding process, the delivery process. And as Guy mentioned a minute ago, the no button solution. So that's great, but it needs to be checked. Humans still need to look at it and make sure it's working, or at least run tools where you can look at the data and make sure it's working. This is another WIPI tool slide. So this is interesting. We did some measurements on a platform and noticed that at the higher bitrate deliverable, at the higher bandwidth, they were getting a bitrate deliverable that didn't quite make sense the way they built it, and it actually got poorer performance from that. Where you expect it to keep going up to better performance, it actually went down in the last bar there. And then the live content, like I've said, pre-checks, getting ready before a live event actually occurs. Availability of live content, we do testing way before a live event, but then also leading up on that day, and we find problems accessing content on the day, and still we have to scramble to get that data to our clients so that they can correct and adjust. Functionality of the player, again, another thing we see a lot, that player on that one device has trouble. Metadata validation, especially obviously on the VOD side. And then live monitoring of the streaming access across the testbed, and then the in-territory stuff I mentioned is critical. And some key takeaways, and this is my last slide because I'm around time. Test early, often, and ongoing. That's the main thing. Validation over verification. If you have the content and it's accessible, it's not too hard to get there, then the user journey might not, if there's some bugs in the user journey, it might not be at the end of the game, right? It might be okay for the day. It still should be addressed, but as long as they can get the live event. And then test content in both scenarios, live or VOD. Live streaming testing is critical during the event and with VOD as well. And then test all targeted devices for that territory. Regression across all devices, not just where it happened. And then pay attention to the market. You have to adapt to the by devices every month huge list of devices constantly, because there's, you know, in every territory, there's new devices coming out, new OS updates, and you have to test for all of that. Agile ability, so we work really closely with the development team of those OTT platforms so that we can understand what they're trying to do, write use cases for that, and write smoke tests for that, and then give feedback immediately where it counts and where people can take action on it. And then expect the unexpected. Right, that's easy. Just be flexible, scalable. We have teams that grow up and down, 20 people up or down in a week, pretty typically, and then be able to meet the prepping for that live launch. If you need 50 or 100 people live viewing across devices on a single launch, we know how to scale it for that. Any questions? That's it.